Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church. It is a good thing that we get to be together today. I hope that you're enjoying your days and the nice weather, although I don't think it's rained really here since we moved in, so please don't blame me. Couple of brief announcements. I got an email from Mary at the thrift shop, and believe it or not, your generosity has been so overwhelming that there's enough foodstuffs for her to do lunches for the homeless for a while. And so thank you. Thank you for your generosity. And she's like, okay, I think we have enough. So, but if you already bought it and you brought it and you're going to drop it off, please don't, you know, do that. But you don't have to go this week to buy more yet. There are lots of other announcements in the bulletin, and I hope that you take a chance to read through them. But we've gathered this morning to be in worship together. And so let us join in the brief order for confession and forgiveness. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Our gathering song is Savior of the World. We sing together.
God so loved that he gave his Son to lay down his life. For the sake of us, he bore the weight of our sin and shame. With a cry he said, it is finished. Christ the Lord overcame the darkness. He's alive, death has been defeated. For he made us way by which we have been saved. He's the Savior of the world. So we lift up a shout for his fame and renown. Save the Lord, praise the Lord, Jesus, Savior of the world. We must spread the word of his soon return to reclaim the world for his glory. Let the church now sing of this coming King, crowned with majesty, our Redeemer. And he reigns, ruler of the heavens, and his name is Jesus the Messiah. For he made us a way by which we have been saved. He's the Savior of the world. So we lift up a shout for his fame and renown. Praise the Lord, Jesus, Savior of the world. Christ the Lord overcame the darkness. He's alive, death has been defeated. The heavens, and his name Messiah. For he made us a way by which we have been saved. He's the Savior of the world. So we lift up a shout for his fame and renown. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Jesus, Savior of the world.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of your Son, that we may gladly minister to all the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 51, beginning at verse 1. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for he was but one when I called him. But I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I've often wondered if Jesus is having some kind of an identity crisis in today's gospel reading. Who do people say that I am? I mean, if you have a high school student, You know that that question runs through their head all the time. Who do people say that I am? Who is it that people are thinking that I am? All the rest of that. What are people around me seeing and saying about me? Jesus was wondering, perhaps, are these people that come to see us, are they really hearing me? Or are they projecting their own needs and their own ideas onto me? In fact, if I'm honest, I could probably ask some of the same kinds of questions because I'm new enough in town, and this is, what, my third time here? So it's like, who do people think I am? Oh my goodness, here we are. I don't usually bother with most of those kinds of questions. I'm pretty secure in who I think I am. and until the crowds come with torches and pitchforks, I think usually everything's okay, all right? In fact, this morning, I think that Jesus is asking these questions for the disciples' sake. It's not that he's having an identity crisis. Jesus wants to get a feel about what the disciples are hearing. But more importantly, I think he wants to know what the disciples themselves are thinking. And from the disciples' response, they've been hearing a lot of different speculation concerning who Jesus is and what he's doing. John the Baptist, Elijah, and Jeremiah is actually pretty good company if that's who Jesus is keeping company with. But to be honest, two out of those three did not end well, and no prophet was ever well regarded in their own time. You see, a prophet's job was to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And it's usually the comfortable ones who get to decide what happens to people who made them feel uncomfortable. King Herod ended John the Baptist. Jeremiah was forced by the leaders of Jerusalem to go down into Egypt, where he died, waiting for God to return his people after exile. Elijah was the one that came with the fiery chariot, and I suppose that, you know, that wasn't such a bad way to go, but it still, none of them were ever well regarded in their time. So were the disciples hearing people who didn't really understand Jesus? Were those people who were comparing Jesus to Elijah and Jeremiah, were they wanting to sort of be part of history, wanting to say early on, I knew Jesus way back, you know? But the disciples were reporting these comparisons as a positive thing. They were saying, they think that you're as important as these people, because the people knew and understood that Jesus spoke to them with words from God. Now, they may not always understand anything more than that, but they did understand that they heard God when Jesus spoke. Which brings us to Peter's confession. I love Peter. He always wants to sort of jump right on in, and sometimes that's a great thing, like when he steps out of the boat, or even this week. See, I think Peter has been pondering this question that Jesus asked for a while now. Peter has been wondering himself who Jesus really is. Is Jesus just a con artist leading everybody down some merry path? Is Jesus just another, you know, half-baked desert prophet coming in out of the storm? Is Jesus legitimate? Is this the real thing? Peter is wondering that if this whole Jesus thing is what God's people have been waiting for all these years. And Peter thinks that it is. Peter believes that Jesus truly is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter got it. Peter understood who Jesus truly is. Or did he? See, one thing that we need to remember is that in Jesus' day, Messiah was a loaded term. To use Messiah was to use a term that had loads of baggage with it, lots of backstory, all kinds of anticipation. Since the promise in the Old Testament that God would send a Messiah, one who would be more than Moses, one who would be more than King David, one who would be more than anyone, there had been lots of speculation as to what the Messiah would be and how we would recognize Messiah when he showed up. Most believed that the Messiah would come as a new king, like David, while others added to the king, they would come back also as a general to lead God's people into victory over their enemies. Still others believed that Messiah would be a prophet to proclaim all of God's good word. He would come and be a priest, a high priest, to lead God's people into true worship, a leader that would be all of that and even more. So when Peter calls Jesus Messiah, the question becomes, was he going along with everybody else, with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the friends and the neighbors who were expecting a prophet, priest, a king, a general, a whatever? Or did Peter truly understand Jesus? Because Jesus Messiah was something completely different. And I think from the text we see that Peter actually had it right, that Jesus saw in Peter's response a true insight. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. In that moment, Peter truly did understand that Jesus was the Word made flesh. He was the one who shows us God's love in all its power and compassion. Peter understood that Jesus was teaching and healing, was feeding and caring, so that we can all see the potential for those things in our own lives. Jesus praises Peter and then makes a joke about his name. You are Petros. Petros in Greek is rock, all right? One of my New Testament professors in seminary, David Rhodes, did his own translation of the Gospel of Mark, and he would then go from church to church sort of doing the Gospel of Mark. And every time Peter's name came up in the Gospel, he called him Rocky, because that's how he had translated it. Rock, you are rock. And then Jesus goes on to state that on this rock I will build my church. Now there are people who believe that the rock that Jesus is talking about is Peter himself. I believe that Jesus is talking about the statement of faith that Peter made. Because Peter's a great guy, but he's not my foundation. Peter's confession was his own foundation, and that confession that Jesus is Son of the living God, that's our foundation. The church of Jesus' followers is truly built on the statement that Jesus is Messiah, Son of the living God. It's what we believe as Lutherans. It's what we believe as God's people here at St. John's. It's a truth that gives us purpose. It's the rock from which we were hewn, to quote Isaiah from this morning. Because Isaiah asks us to look to the rock. And that rock is God. It is God as shown to us in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the promised and anointed one. Jesus is our rock, and it is on that rock that our house is built. The love that Jesus shows, the compassion that Jesus lives, we build our lives on his willingness to suffer and die because of us. We build our lives on the love of God that pours down on us because the tomb is empty and Jesus lives. That is our rock. And that's the rock that Jesus lifts up this morning. Peter got it. It's not just prophecy. It's not just making some people comfortable and some people It is living the love of God in all that we do. That is the foundation of Christ's church on earth. So then the question becomes, what do we do? We can proclaim it like Peter did. And sometimes that's exactly what we need to do. But Paul has another idea for us today. The very beginning of today's reading from Romans, Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, for Paul and the people of his day, sacrifice was a word that meant something died. Something was killed to make a sacrifice. And Paul wants us to be willing to give up our selfish lives, our old Adam. He wants us to be willing to die to that part of ourselves, right? For Paul, If we give up that self-centered part of us, that is living life built on the rock of Jesus our Lord. He goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world. And that's Paul asking us not to jump onto the world's bandwagon. Advertisers and all kinds of other people want us to concentrate on ourselves, on what we need, and more importantly, on what they think we deserve. You deserve this. You should have this, right? Paul understands the temptation and the allure of these messages. And he encourages us to be transformed by God's love so that we can leave aside the world's worries and all of that self-centered mess that they lead us to so that we can do the will of God. We can live God's dream. We can build God's kingdom, which are all of ways of saying we can love our neighbors with care and compassion, with forgiveness and hope. We can do this because Christ is with us and because we have one another. We are all part of the body of Christ. We are all gifted by God for the good of all, and together we can do amazing things. We don't all have the same gifts, but all of our gifts together give us a reach and a capacity that we've never had all by ourselves. Too often the world wants us to think that we're all alone. That we're all alone in this life. And Paul reminds us that we have sisters and brothers. We have family, God's family, made here at the font. And together, we are the body of Christ reaching out into the world. Today, Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? Then he asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? Today, I want us to ask, who are we? Are we just more consumers in a world that wants us to look out for number one and go for the gusto or don't go at all? Are we individuals struggling to make our own way? Are we each a lone wolf taking charge? Or are we children of God, washed, named, and claimed in our baptism? Are we followers of Jesus? We are people of faith. We are sisters and brothers of one another. We are the body of Christ. We are people who have been transformed by God's love. We are people fed at this table and then sent back into the world to love family and friends, to love neighbors and strangers, to love even our enemies, so that God's will is truly done and God's love becomes more and more and more important. We are people who live God's dream, build God's kingdom, reach out to love this world so that it can be more and more and more beautiful. We are those people built on a rock. So let's roll. Amen. Please rise. In remembrance of and in celebration of our own baptism, let us confess our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Lord, our rock, you are our foundation in Jesus Christ, your Son, whom we confess as the living God. Prepare your church for its mission in bearing witness to Christ, both here at home and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, you call forth praises from the far reaches of the universe to the smallest of creatures. Join our songs to theirs, that a spirit of praise and thanksgiving will arouse us to cherish this wondrous home you give us. Lord, in your mercy, all the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord. Direct the leaders of countries, legislators and magistrates, mayors and councils to walk in your ways. Help leaders regard those in need with mercy and fulfill your loving purposes in the governance of all peoples. Lord, in your mercy. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve us, deliver us, and fulfill your purpose for us. According to your steadfast love, grant healing and wholeness to those who are bereaved, in trouble or adversity, or sick and in need of care. We pray especially today for Gail, for Mary, and for the family and friends of Elfrida Bax. Lord, in your mercy. You call us into this community in which we, though many, are one in Christ. May we recognize in ourselves and in one another the unique gifts you have given us for the building up of the church, for the sake of the world. Lord, in your mercy. You are the everlasting rock from which we were hewn, and you restore your people to joy and gladness. In blessed memory and hope, we thank you for the lives of our beloved dead, especially Ben, Dean, and Elfrida. Bring us with them to our heavenly home. Lord, in your mercy. In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
See the world through your eyes. I wanna be your hands and feet. I wanna live a life that leads. Ready yourselves, put the shining light of Jesus in the darkest light. Oh, ready yourselves, may the powers of darkness tremble as our praises rise. Until the whole world hears, Lord, we are calling out, lifting up your name for all to hear the sound. Like voices in the wilderness, we're crying out, as the day draws near, we'll sing until the whole world hears. Lord, let your sleeping giant rise, catch the demons by surprise. Holy nation sanctified, let this be our battle cry. Ready yourselves, let it shine the light of Jesus in the darkest night. Whoa, ready yourselves, may the powers of darkness tremble as our praises rise. Until the whole world hears, Lord, we are calling out, lifting up your name for all to hear the sound. Like voices in the wilderness,